behalf of the Oral History Program of Century High School. The interviewee is Tim Orr. The interviewer is Andrew Shaw. The interview took place at the Civic Center on May 24th at 10 a.m.
Okay, so how long have you lived in Hillsboro?
I've actually lived in Hillsboro since 1973. I've worked here since 1974.
And how did you get the job?
I had just gotten out of the Marine Corps and needed to go back to school to finish up my college degree. And I was looking for a short part-time job, and I found a full-time job as an engineering aide, which is bottom position, a pre-level position. They allowed me to work a flex schedule when I went back to school, so I stayed here, and one thing led to another. And here I am, 34 years later, sitting in the chair.
I see. And as a team manager, like, what are the things that you do?
The interface between the professional staff of the city and the city council and elected officials of the city. The mayor and the council set the policy direction and prioritized the things that they were to be done in general. And in conjunction with the budget committee, set the budgetary parameters and then it's up to me to hire all of the staff and delegate that out and take care of the organization of the city staff. And then I'm in charge in terms of direct supervision of all the department managers.
I see. So do you just like oversee the city sometimes as part of your job?
Yeah, I'm essentially the top staff person and so relative. For example, the police chief works for me, the fire chief works for me, the library director, and so on.
I see. And so, what have you seen as being a problem in Hillsboro in, say, the past 10 years?
Well, the most recent problem, one of those related to crime and law enforcement, is graffiti. We're having a surge of graffiti right now. Drugs has been an increasing problem in the last 10 years. Right now, it's methamphetamine and other things leading up to that point. Cocaine and crack and other things like that. But it's not as large a problem here as it is in the central cities, but it's still a problem.
I see. And how do you feel about the law enforcement in Hillsboro? How do you feel about all the police work and law enforcement?
Well, I have a great deal of confidence in my police chief and the organization that he's put together, the police department, and I think that they do a good job. The fact is, we, as any government, local government, have limited resources, and we could do more if we had more money and so on. But I think with the resources that we have, they do an excellent job.
I see. And going back, how do you stop, say, the graffiti or methamphetamine? How do you stop them?
Well, each one has a different solution. Methamphetamines are, one problem requires work at the national level or state level, which is stopping the access that people have to the materials which they use to make the methamphetamine. You can't stop the demand, and people are always going to be hooked on drugs of different kinds because people just have tendencies to do, certain people have weaknesses and those things play upon them, and individuals play upon them. People in traps that get them hooked on those things because they can make money. So you have to deal with all of those aspects of the crime. So you have to try to prevent the access to the drugs that they use to make them into members, and the whole pathway and things like that. And that's a difficult thing because those have always been open for civil rights laws, and so now the state legislatures and the national legislature are looking at ways to limit that and control that. But there are lots of other normal household ingredients that are used in the actual process of cooking. Trying to find ways to track the sale of those things in quantities that would indicate that somebody's in the process of cooking drugs. That's particularly difficult to find because it is set up a lab for cooking. It uses all the fairly common things, and you can do it in a small area. They would do maybe entire meth labs and different. And so it's extremely difficult to track down. And one of the things you need is an educated citizenry and people are willing to tell the police when they see suspicious things, when they smell suspicious things. And so getting out into the neighborhoods and teaching people about what to look for is very important. That's one of the things about policing that has changed in the last 10 years, a little more than 10 years, probably 15 years. It's gone to much more of a community policing style where we enlist the help of the community for these who are very needed for the community and can try to educate citizens through PTAs, through neighborhood groups, through the service clubs, and others about what role they can play to be the eyes and ears and help us see what's going on in their community and report what's going on. So you can't solve a problem if you don't know about it.
And when you first started, what were some of the policies then?
When I started 33 years ago, or when I started as city manager 13 years ago?
City manager.
Okay. What did I start? Methamphetamine wasn't the drug of choice at that time. There was, as I recall, cocaine and crack, and marijuana was the ongoing drug. And so the drug problems really were those things. A lot of crime problems are related to drug problems because drug addicts need money to buy the drugs. And at that time, there were more break-ins of residences and apartments and those types of things. And I think now, in more recent times, there's a lot more car clouds because they can steal stereos and CDs out of the cars. Steal other electronic things that are more valuable. It used to be that they had to take homes to make things that were that valuable, but now we have those kinds of things in the car. But it's always been a matter of a lot of electronics and tests and ability related. We've never had a huge history of a lot of violent crime. Fortunately, there have been a few murders along the way, a lot of those have been drug related, and there are some gang related. Gangs have been a real interesting situation because there have been gangs that seem to get worse at times and more problematic, and then at other times they kind of calm down and it dies down and there's not so much of a forefront. And I think right now, they're more in the forefront, partly because of the graffiti. And we have had some drive-by attempts at shooting and those kinds of things. career field. Again, it's all from the policing side. What we try to do is get out in the community and get people undercover who get out there and try to get informants who can give us information about gangs, and that's really hard to do. It takes a lot of work and a lot of time and patience, but over time, you can get some good intelligence on what the gang does to us, and we can really try to do things to limit the ability to prevent some of that. Probably the biggest thing in the since I've been city manager has been the emphasis on crime prevention. Again, education of the citizenry, the community police and stuff, get out there in the community and teach people what they can do and why it's important for them to play that role and help prevent crime. And we spend a lot of effort in prevention. Whereas when I first started in this business, a lot of the focus on the police department was enforcement. We arrested people in gate pickets and other kinds of things. Whereas now, much more of the emphasis is put on trying to prevent it so that you don't have to.
I see. And so, what is your take about having police officers or police officers in, like, say, high school and around, like, in communities and having, like, community knowing a police officer? What do you take from that?
That's part of community policing. It's part of people feeling comfortable to be around police officers and not be afraid of them so that they're more, so citizens are more likely to approach the police officer if they're aware of them. It's being there in the community at the school and getting people used to us being there and what they're comfortable with and how they can approach them.
And how has domestic, have you ever had a lot of domestic violence issues there? Or?
There are domestic violence issues, and there have been forever. That's been a part of society to begin with. But there are certain cultures where that type of thing is more prevalent because of the fact that the culture teaches that the male is the dominant person and he's in charge and you do what the male says. The other members of the family don't take out anger on the members of the family. It's a very unfortunate thing, and so part of the prevention is education in the community, education to people from the cultures that are set up that way. There are also, in the world, female dominated cultures that have the same problem in the other direction. But we don't tend to get as many people from those cultures from the male dominated ones.
And how do you prevent, say, the domestic violence? Is it just the same as the crime?
Well, it's very difficult, again, trying to educate people that it's not acceptable here. It may have been acceptable in the culture they came from, but it's not acceptable here. Is one of the things, and doing that through the schools and teaching the children that it's not right, and trying to get ways to teach the parents that it's not right. But again, that's something we can do at the schools. And we also have to train the police officers how to react when they get there, how to deal with the situation. There's actually marital disturbances are actually one of the major causes of police officer injuries and death, because can escalate and tempers can be totally out of control by the time we even learn that something's going on. So when our people get there, they're walking into a very, very dangerous situation. And so we have to recognize that and just train our officers appropriately to deal with that. I think that's one of the things on the policing side is that police officers are much, much better educated, much, much better trained in how to do a job. And that training isn't just one time. They have ongoing refresher training throughout their career to try to keep them up to speed on various pieces of technical knowledge that they need to keep them up to date. And as techniques for handling situations change, they have to learn from the techniques and they have an ongoing education. So we devote a lot of time to training and education.
Is there anything that, say, you do different than what, say, the Beaverton City Manager does or the Portland City Manager does?
Well, there isn't the Beaverton City Manager and there isn't the Portland City Manager because they're different forms of government. Most of the cities in the state are city managers. We have council manager, we have a mayor and council for lay people, and city manager, they have staff person, and there's a public officer on the staff. Portland is a commission for each of the council members has staff and it's assigned by the mayor or certain departments. You have a choice when the mayor can change it and sign it to everyone. It creates a situation where there's kind of a competition among the different areas as opposed to the operate coordinate. In Beaverton's form is a strong mayor form where the mayor serves as both the chief elected official and the chief staff official, who is the fourth city staff official. So you kind of have both the mayor and the city manager role. But they've been very fortunate in they've elected someone with some good administrative skills. There's no guarantee that somebody who can win an election actually handles the dimension of any extra skill. Anyway, back to the point. So, how do they deal with things in the region? It's interesting again because the top staff official or elected official is the same person. And so he really is probably more prone to be hit from the community by things that are involved in terms of having issues and problems thrown at him and feel probably a higher degree of having to be responsible. I don't know. We have to be within that government to really know how to solve it. Could be an interesting question for somebody to ask the police chief.
Yeah, I see. And so, how has crime changed in the past 25 years?
Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Well, criminals have gotten more sophisticated over time. Set up better networks, how they dispose of goods and that type of thing. And we have new types of crime, electronic related crime, lots more white collar crime. But again, with the methamphetamine stuff, we have a lot of illegal fashion, burglaries, and that type of thing, and park problems. Which you have along, but we also have a lot of the white collar crime, everything from embezzlement to computer fraud and computer theft. I think if anything, crime has gotten more diverse.
And as these crimes are being committed, what do you think and how do you react to this? What can you do to prevent this? You yourself?
Well, our police department tries to change with changed in the community and changes in time. For example, the education. We found that as time changes, the best way to deal with it is to try to have the educational component through the school resource offices to try to head off people who are just starting to enter time at school level, school age, and to try to head that off and again make them feel more comfortable around police and more comfortable with the rules and the necessity to obey the law and those kind of things. And to prevent we try to we set up special units as needed, so I think that special traffic unit and it's expanding because we're having some problems with speeding through neighborhoods and things like that, and so we need to get and a lot of that to put in that area when we have problems, and you have to be flexible and shift to shift your emphasis to where the problem seems to be most of the with the computer crimes, we set up a high-tech unit which consists of people who are computer experts, and we get a lot of private sector help. I mean, and that's another thing that's different today. Today, police exists a lot of partnerships in the community. We partner up with department managers. We partner up to have them help them in how they select instruments in order to avoid getting a lot of troublemakers congregating in one complex. We partner up with the schools, the school resource offices there. We partner up with the Chamber of Commerce, right, and work with local businesses companies on preventing crime and counterfeit, stopping counterfeit, check cashing of bad checks, and falsifying checks, forging checks, and all of those kinds of things. Little shoplifting, and so there's a wide variety, and the way that we function today is partnering with people to try to prevent what's going to happen, teach them how they, as a business person, can make it more difficult for them to be successful.
I see. How's the community reacted to all of the different changes in say the law enforcement and the crime?
Well, I guess if I can kind of approach your question a little bit sideways, it's something that I didn't say before. The other thing that's happened in the community is that Hillsborough is a much more diverse community than it was 15 years ago. When the high-tech companies started moving into the area, suddenly we got a population that much, much more varied, and so we have people here, many more races, nationalities, ethnic origins, and so and language. And language is a barrier as well. For many, many years, most of our largest minority population was Hispanic, and it still is. But then even the nature of that has changed, that it's more varied because it used to be that most of our Hispanic population was from Mexico. Now it's come from Central America, as well as Mexico and some other areas. And we have somebody that probably has one company. They have 17 different languages spoken in the country. And that creates a lot of problems in communication, a lot of education of these people, and education about the cultural differences here and what's acceptable here versus at home is much more difficult. That makes it harder, and what we have to do is generalize. Is we have large population groups, a particular group of Asian immigrants from a variety of countries within Asia, but we kind of lump them together because there are some similarities in those cultures and languages, and then within the Hispanic minority, and pretty much all other groups. But I think Intel indicated they had people on their campus. There are multiple campuses in the town from every country in the world.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's a little, we've become a real melting pot. We're very modern here in the world. And so that has created some intriguing situations. But again, we try to learn to deal with people of differing languages. We have to do that. Our police force has to be really very. We have a lot more weapons on our police force. Years ago, we really tried it because it was something that women did. It was culturally, it was a rarity. But as women have gotten more integrated into the workforce and realized that they could do a lot of other good things, and more and more women are inspired.
I don't know, how did that impact Hillsborough?
Well, in Washington County, we have WACOW, the Washington County Consolidated Communications Agency, WCCCCPA. I think there's three C's in there. It's our 911 agency. That's where the 911 calls come in and the dispatch goes out. Countywide system. And so what 911 has really done for us, well, it does a number of things. Number one, it allowed significant cost savings by consolidating the 911 agency. And it allows us, and it's efficiencies there, but it allows us to track back to, for example, the call for the 911, we can track to the address. And it's not that we have to put a trace on it, it's an email. It shows up on the screen where that call is coming from. So we know where the person is calling from. And so it helps us determine a lot about how to respond to that particular call at that meeting. It also allows us to have the dispatchers in one area are dealing with the cars from one city, and so they have an idea of where people are and who's deploying and what. So it makes more efficient use of the forces that we've got. We can cover more territory and more people and fewer people. There's cost efficiency, but also our city has grown not only population-wise. When I started working for the city in 1971, the population was 15, just under 15,000, and today it's 80,000, and it's gone from more than a half square miles to 25 square miles. So we have a much, much larger territory covered and much more spread out with this population. We also, because of our employment growth, we have more workers here during the day than we have populations sleeping in at night. It used to be the other way around. It used to be that we were an exporter of workers. So the workers were all throughout Washington County and other places, and we had a lot more people who lived in Hillsborough, worked outside of Hillsborough, than than the opposite. And today, we actually have more people driving into Hillsborough than they were in greater numbers than we have driving out of Hillsborough. We still have a lot of people driving out.
Yeah.
You think that everybody would choose to live close to home or work close to where they live or live close to where they work, but people don't choose to do that. They travel long distances in some cases, and a lot more traffic. And that adds to traffic. Everybody's doing speeding and cutting through neighborhoods and failing to yield the pedestrian. So because of the congestion on the roads, and the road rage, and that's a relatively newly recognized problem that was actually around for a long time. It's not happening in larger numbers already, but it was more recognized in the past.
What do you think? What do you think about the youth? Get, like, they get into trouble. What do you think about that?
Well, that seems to happen at a younger and younger age. Again, we're trying to combat that by having the school resource officers there who work with students. We have instructors who teach DARE and teach other CREATE programs where we're actually having officers and non-school personnel from the police department teaching in classrooms and trying to help kids learn why they shouldn't get into a life of crime and how to avoid doing that. Those are very important things. The reality is that there are always people who get into trouble and create problems and water and comes from medical insurance. The more that can be done to make the home place better, the better it can do. So one of our big partnerships is working with social service agencies who can help families who are in financial trouble or who can help families that have other kinds of problems and need counseling and homeless. So we also partner up with other nonprofit social service organizations, shelter, which provides shelter for women who have been battered and their children, so that they can move to spouses and those things. So again, the forming partnership, well, all of that is important to try to keep people, try to keep young people from moving in the wrong direction. So, I think that we've had a lot of successes there and turned a lot of people around, but we still have a lot of people, the young people, get in trouble and get caught, hopefully get caught, and get turned around. But unfortunately, then we have a shortage of jail space and other things like that that really handicap our police, because they can arrest somebody and they either go to a juvenile home or they can't put it in the juvenile home, the prison enough room. And so they're back out on the street, you know, almost equally focused. And same with the jail, that they're having to release people frequently because they're overcrowded. And so they do a hierarchy of crime, so the lower end of crime, people get released and then you get the multiple offenders. And that's really what the police, they have to arrest the same people over and over.
Is there anything that you don't like that's going on that we could improve on the city of Hillsborough?
Things that we're doing that we should be doing?
Anything that we could improve on?
I'm sure there are things we could improve on. I think, as I said, I'm very comfortable with the job that Chief Lurie and his staff are doing. They're doing an excellent job. But I'm sure there are things we could do better, and we always try to be learning and able to continue to do better and do things more efficiently. In terms of crime, there are lots of things happening in terms of crime that I don't like. We're trying to do something about those, but sometimes we're successful, sometimes we're not.
And is there anything else that you wanted to tell? Something that maybe I haven't gone over or anything?
Well, there probably is, but I probably rambled enough that I covered most of it.
Okay. It's okay.